Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. And welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. A very special welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you do indeed feel welcome here at Main Street. And if you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street for that home. If you'll give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew rack, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So, if you would now please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. I forgot by starting off by saying Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. We hope that you do have a good Mother's Day today. We've got a lot going on in the life of the church. The Bible class will have their 16th annual rummage and bake sale this Saturday, May the 17th. Donations are now being accepted for that. You can place those on the stage in the fellowship hall. No clothing will be collected or sold this year, but any other items would certainly be appreciated. And again, that is this Saturday in the fellowship hall. Main Streeters May Musical Variety will be on Monday, May the 19th at Wesley Commons at 12 noon. The meal will be $8 a piece. You can make reservations by calling the church office, and they need those by May the 14th. Any checks for those meals should be made out to Wesley Commons. So that's the Main Streeters May Musical Variety on Monday, May the 19th. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for the call to worship. The peace of God be with you today. Receive with joy the gift of the Holy Spirit. How amazing is the power God gives us. How manifold are the works of our Creator. God calls us to be dreamers and prophets. God gives us a vision for a world of peace.
Please be seated.
Oh, a little loud.
And on this Mother's Day and Pentecost and Confirmation Sunday, we have a special invocation in your bulletin written by Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley. Join me now in this invocation. You, O Lord, have called us to watch and pray. Therefore, whatever may be the sin against which we pray, make us careful to watch against it, and so have reason to expect that our prayers will be answered. In order to perform this duty aright, grant us grace to preserve a sober, equal temper, and sincerity to pray for your assistance. Amen. And I think all mothers and fathers know that we do need God's assistance from time to time. As we come before God in prayer, we want to lift up these special concerns, our confirmands this morning, all mothers everywhere, and the memories of our mothers who have passed on. And this time frame, Jason Ballantyne's father facing more treatments. Chuck Drake, who's undergone successful back surgery, who will have many weeks ahead of rehab. Roberta, the niece of Marilyn Sheridan, recovering from brain surgery. Brenda Wall's mother, who had to go to hospital this past week. Albert Gambrell, who is undergoing radiation treatments. And Frank Hawthorne, Caroline's husband, who had a fall over the weekend, and I'm not sure about his condition, but had a bad fall. Let us be in prayer for these and for our own private concerns as we go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we remember before you the mothers of this world. We remember girls becoming women who are just becoming aware of the awesome power of their bodies. And for women who are now bearing new life within their bodies and await with joy the coming of a child. For women now, for women who have borne children and who are raising them in the bosom of intact families. And for those who raise children alone, with few resources and little help. We pray for women who do face this task and help us, Lord, as a church, reach out to them, for those who must earn a living and for those who must share time with career and with children and with grandchildren. For women whose children are more of a burden than a joy, who live with fear about the way their children are growing and developing, we do pray to you. And for women who watch their children leave home and enter the wide world and are frightened, and for those who look with joy and pride at their children, who wait their future growth, we do pray. And for women whose task of mothering is done but cannot let go, who feel compelled to hang on to their children and demand a loyalty that is no longer appropriate, we do pray. For all the women who have gone before, who are our mothers and grandmothers and their influence, we celebrate their lives. And God, before you, the generations do rise and pass away. We place in your hands all of those for whom we have love and concern. We trust you beyond mother and father. We trust you with our days and nights, our coming and going. We trust you with our very souls. We trust your arms of grace. And grant now that we may be aware of the task and the joys of motherhood on this day, and that we may celebrate our mothers and forgive them with equal love their failings. Through Jesus Christ, we do pray. And pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Libby has the offering plate if any of you have collection. And if y'all come sit on the floor and face that way so you can see Miss Lee. Y'all come sit on the floor. Oh my word, look how many beautiful young children we have here today. Everybody's all dressed up because some of you sang and the other ones of you are here because it's Mother's Day, right? Yes, you're going to have a big lunch for Mommy when you get through, and I'm sure you're all going to cook and clean up, right? Okay. That would be a nice thing to do. Well, I want to tell y'all this morning about Mother's Day. Any of you have any idea how it got started? No. Well, you know, actually, until I started looking this up, I had no clue either. This is so interesting. Mother's Day actually started at a Methodist church in West Virginia. So the Methodist Church has a very integral part of Mother's Day. It started, well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let me tell you about a lady who was a very active mother back in her day. Her name was Ann Maria Reeves Jarvis. That is a mouthful. She has four names, Ann Maria Reeves Jarvis. Her father was a Methodist preacher, and so she grew up in the Methodist church, going there every Sunday and working and doing all the things that you would do. And this was over 100 years ago. This is way, way, way long time ago. And she married a Methodist preacher. So both her daddy was a preacher and her husband was a preacher. They moved from town to town like Methodist ministers do every couple of years. And they ended up in this one town that was a very poor town. There were a lot of poor people there and a lot of sick people there. So she organized a club. Have any of y'all ever made a club? Well, Miss Ann Marie Reeves Jarvis made a club, and she called her club the Mother's Day Club. Because all the men were out working, and the only people who could help the other people in town were the mothers. So she called it a Mother's Day Club, Mother's Day Work Club. And what they did was they raised money to buy medicines for the sick people. They tried to improve the health conditions so people wouldn't get sick. They hired people to work for mothers who were sick from a disease called tuberculosis. And back then, that was a really bad disease. If not anymore, because we've learned how to give them medicines for that, but they didn't have medicines back then. And they also tried to make the food a lot healthier and safer, tried to keep the germs out of food. They were learning all this stuff, and it was because of Anne Marie's Mother's Day Work Club. She thought mothers were so important. Well, that was so good that other towns started doing, and it just spread like wildfire. All the towns were realizing that all this was good work, so they started doing it. And until it almost got here, you're right. Well, this was before the Civil War. Any of y'all ever heard about the Civil War? That was a really bad time in our history. That was like Clemson and Carolina fighting each other 100 times over. I mean, if you can imagine, it was that bad. And people were actually even getting killed. They were fighting so much, and they disliked each other so much, they got killed. So what did Miss Anne Marie Reeves Jarvis do? She expanded her Mother's Day work clubs to start taking care of the soldiers on both sides. It didn't matter to her which side those people were on. They were sick and they were hurt. And so her Methodist Church Mother's Day Work Club started taking care of people on both sides. And that's just what Jesus taught us to do, wasn't it? To love one another. So, the Civil War goes on for years and years, and toward the end of it, they could tell that one side was going to win, and one side was going to lose, and all the people were going to have to go back to the same town. And they were really kind of worried about that. You know, what was going to happen when these people who were mad at each other were going to have to live in the same town again? So Miss Anne Marie Reeves Jarvis decided she was going to have a Mother's Friendship Day, because nobody wants to make your mama mad, you know? Everybody wants their mama to be happy. So again, she named it a Mother's Friendship Day, and that's where everybody got into town. Even all the Clemson and Carolina people went to the same party. They all hugged each other, and nobody fought. It was just absolutely wonderful. Well, her husband was a Methodist preacher, and he built a church in a town called Andrews, West Virginia. And the Mother's Day Club started spreading all over. Well, when Miss Anne Reeves Reeves Jarvis died, her daughter decided that I'm just going to honor my mama. And so she had a special church service. You know, we have special church services here every now and then. She did the same thing for her mother, and they had it several years in a row. And then all of a sudden, President Woodrow Wilson, the President of the United States, hears about this, and he says, "This is a wonderful idea. On the second Sunday of May, every year from now on out, we're going to honor our mothers." So that's how we wound up with Mother's Day. It all started from a lady in a Methodist church deciding she needed to do things for others. And she was not only a good mother to her 12 children. Can you imagine 12 children? Cheaper by the dozen. I don't think so. But it might have been back then. Who knows? But this is just a tidbit for all of you. I did not know that in 1952, the General Conference of United Methodist Church named Andrews Methodist Church in West Virginia as a National Methodist Shrine. Didn't know we had shrines. But Mother's Day is so important that this church was named a Methodist Shrine. So the message to all this is mothers are very important. Mothers work not only for their own family, but they work for everybody else, trying to make things right and the way God meant it to be. Let's pray, please. Holy Father, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for all your people who work to make things better for others, who work to make things better for others, and those who work toward peace. Amen.
Now let us pass the peace.
Reading this morning comes from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. And I'm reading the Revised Standard Version. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the Spirit of the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so that it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm gonna sing when
And now I'd like to invite down front our confirmands, Ashley Barnett, John Castro, Lauren Dalton, Laura McCallum, Taylor Ramey, Tompkins Ramey, Sam Rice, Carly Rogers, Heron Warner, and Matthew Yokel. And invite also to stand behind them those they have asked to stand with them. This is a high and holy moment in the church, and for Matthew Yokel, it's the same as my confirmation. I, being the product of a mixed marriage, my mother Baptist and my father Methodist, was baptized and confirmed in the same day. So I have a kinship with Matthew here, and it was a very meaningful experience. I hope none of you who are being confirmed today believe that this is anything like the end of a faith journey. It is the beginning. It is the very beginning. The very beginning of you making a public stand of faith before this congregation, before parents and friends, and praying for God's Spirit to empower you to truly be able to love, forgive, and to echo Christ's grace to others in this world as we entrust our souls to God in the next. And now to confirmands, parents, and congregation, the churches of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, the edification of believers, and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which it alone supplies. For as much as all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, our Savior Christ said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we call upon thee for this thy servant, that he, coming to thy holy baptism, may receive remission of his sins and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive him, O Lord, as thou hast promised by thy well-loved Son, and grant that he may be faithful to thee all the days of his life, and finally come to the eternal kingdom which thou hast promised through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, Matthew, and all, do you, in the presence of God and this congregation, renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism? And now to all candidates, do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? And now Matthew. Not ready for Matthew yet. All. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? Now, Matthew, do you desire to be baptized into this faith? Would you please kneel? And now, Matthew Garrett, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would like all of you to kneel, please. We will begin with Matthew. And Rudy, who is here to represent the laity as our lay leader, we will lay hands upon each candidate one at a time, and those who are standing with them, behind them, the same. Now, Matthew Garrett, The Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. John Robert, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ashley Elizabeth, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lauren Catherine, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Laura Catherine, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Samuel Tompkins, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Taylor Hall, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Samuel Cameron, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Carly Elise, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Heron Elizabeth, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll ask you to rise. Now, one more question, and then I'll have you face the congregation. Will you be loyal, having confessed and professed your faith in Jesus Christ and as a member of the Church Universal? Will you be loyal now to the United Methodist Church, where your membership is, and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? Turn and face this congregation, please. Brothers and sisters of Main Street United Methodist Church, I commend to your love and care these young persons whom we this day receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church, and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ, that surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal.
And now God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you now and forevermore. Amen. I'll ask you to be seated and to stand with me at the end of this service for others to greet and to congratulate. We will continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Please be seated. I'll be preaching today from the Acts reading, which we have already heard, and you have already read your watches and understand that Mother's Day lunch will be late if I don't leave something out. I'm not preaching from the gospel lesson, so I'm leaving it out. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some folks read the Pentecost story in Acts and they say, how could all that have happened? I'm afraid you'll have to let go of that question. I can't help you if you're stuck at the beginning. Others may have filed away the Pentecost event as factual, but so old and dusty it simply makes no difference now, and that's sad. And some haven't begun to ponder Pentecost at all. Willimon wisely says, we must let the story have its way with us. So let's try. The Pentecost event begins with the powerless disciples just waiting around. We can do that. They were told, do not go out and preach and teach. Instead, wait. Stay in Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, until you are baptized, empowered, guided, changed, and directed by the very presence of God and the person of the Holy Spirit. And when it happened in Acts 2, this is what it seemed to look like to them and to sound like. There was uncontrolled wind and whooshing and the tongues of fire and the preaching and the hearing in various languages. That was what they were waiting for. And we call it the Pentecost event. The church left us this account in the book of Acts to let us, the future church, know that what was promised did happen and made all this, and all our confirmands and our colleges and hospitals and orphanages and missions and John Wesley and the abolition movement and the Bible and the one at your house and a sense of mission and everything that we have here today possible. The Pentecost event and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon those first disciples was testimony that we are not led by a list of written rules. We are not a club that simply says, be nice and sing songs. No, we are led, empowered, and directed by a living God who was and still is with us. God is still guiding us into the truth of what Jesus taught and what to do and where to go and how to build in our generation the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And yet, United Methodists tend to leave the Holy Spirit generic at best, are out of worship and out of our daily prayer life. The story of Pentecost reminds us that we need to invite and include and welcome God's Holy Spirit into our picture of God. We have a picture that includes three: God, Father, Son, and Spirit, not just two. When I study the Scripture, I wonder why we are so surprised as we are of the story of Pentecost. We were told again and again that this is coming. All of the Gospels talk about John the Baptist, and we hear John's words repeatedly: "I baptize you with water, but one is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And isn't that just what happens at Pentecost? When we studied the four Gospels on Wednesday night a few months ago, we saw that each Gospel comes at Jesus and His teaching from different angles, but they all agree on one big point: that John the Baptist came baptizing with water, but the Messiah would come baptizing in a new way with the Holy Spirit. All four Gospels agree on this point, in some form or fashion, extraordinarily, that Jesus revealed God in a new way, and He would baptize not with the same old ritual of water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It denotes cleansing, empowering, rebirthing. It means we are dependent upon God for our salvation and for the very existence of the church. And so, as we are finishing a general conference, which happens every 4 years in the rules of our denomination, and getting ready for our annual conference for our state denomination, it reminds me that you and I don't need to protect the church. It's God's church. And we don't get to define the church. It's God's church. And we can't filter people, our music, or preachers at the door of the church. It is God's church. And our job is to seek where God's Holy Spirit is leading us now, to discern where God is leading the church next. Because Pentecost reveals that God led the earliest church in some directions that they did not want to go. They were led out to folks that they called filthy Gentiles. They didn't want to go there. And they were led out to the heretic Samaritans. They didn't want to go there. So where next? We don't get a vote. It's God's church. Not even the disciples who were directly taught by Jesus Himself had what they needed to go out in God's name until they waited and received power and direction from on high at Pentecost. Acts echoes the four Gospels saying, "John baptized with water, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." They got power, they got direction, and they got their marching orders. And then they proclaimed repentance and forgiveness and grace to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. They gathered at Pentecost and they were clothed, they were baptized with fire and spirit. And that is baptismal language, to be clothed with power. We take off the old and we are put on the new. Those who had been silenced found tongues to preach, and they found words to communicate, and they found the power to proclaim and the courage to proclaim forgiveness and newness and the universality of Christ as Savior. These were the same men who had been locked away with the doors and the windows shuttered for fear just after the crucifixion. Now, this is a big gear change here. Hold on to your pew. Do you remember the Tower of Babel story? I hope you do. It is connected to Pentecost in this way. Traditionally, it is seen as the undoing. Pentecost is the undoing of the division that is underlined in the Tower of Babel story in the Old Testament. In that story, all humanity was separated by language and tribe and nation. And before I run ahead too fast and talk about unity under Christ, amen, then go home, I might let you know that I do know we're still pretty much separated in a Babel-like way by language and tribe and nation. And true enough, through the ages, we think this human philosophy, this political movement, this system of government, this scientific breakthrough is what we've been waiting for, and now we shall be as God and recreate the world. And that's what happened at Babel. They developed high-tech at the time, hardened bricks. That's what high-tech as you got back then, hardened bricks that enabled them to build tall towers, taller than ever before. And they stood on that puny pedestal, and they proclaimed themselves equal to God. That was the problem. Something like that seems to happen just about every generation. And sometimes even people of faith get sucked into it, and they think, now this will make us masters of all ills and suffering and war and disease, and we won't need religion or God anymore. We can remake the world better. Well, you look back at history, so said Nietzsche, and that led to Hitler in his version of utopia. And so said Marx and Stalin and Mao, and millions died for that version of a godless utopia. And there will be more. And I am sure there's no end to technology and philosophy that will continue to develop. In every generation, there are those who will not wait upon God and who say instead, now we've got it right this time, and we'll establish paradise on earth without even a nod to God. That's what Babel was and is. And I hope it's clear that Pentecost has always been seen as a reversal of that first Babel and division and separation of humanity. Pentecost is to be the beginning of a reunion of humanity under God in Christ. Acts wants us to see and hear that they spoke and the whole world understood the gospel in their language. And the reason there were so many people in Jerusalem at that time is that there were 120 people who Peter spoke to earlier. That was one part of the crowd. But Pentecost was a Jewish holiday. Pentecost means 50. And it's the seven Passover, the 7 weeks, the 7 Sabbaths after Passover. That's 50 days in which they celebrate a time of harvest. So Pentecost was an already existing Jewish Thanksgiving of sorts. And so for this Jewish Thanksgiving, all the Jews from all over the world were in Jerusalem, and that's when this happened. You see, Christians did not make up Pentecost. It was there already. So they were all there with all the different languages, and that's when the gospel was proclaimed and heard at once by these people from every corner of the known earth. Bishop Willimon writes, "To those in the church today who regard the Spirit as an exotic phenomenon of mainly interior and purely personal significance, the story of the Spirit's descent at Pentecost offers a rebuke. This outpouring of the Spirit is anything but interior. Everything is by wind and fire, loud talk and buzzing confusion and public debate. The Spirit is the power which enables the church to go public, to attract a crowd, and to have something to say that was worth hearing. And it is not what most people think of as a speaking in tongues miracle. Not exactly. It's more of a miracle of hearing than speaking, because everyone heard in their own language the preaching of the Gospels. It was a Spirit-inspired understanding of the Gospels across boundaries of language and tribe and nation. And the church was born in this way." Now, many of us have seen and heard the offensive way to share the gospel. I know that we have. And thinking of those offensive ways, and we want to be nice people, we do not want to offend anyone, and so we make the leap. We don't even attempt to share the gospel for fear of offending someone. But notice at Pentecost, no one was harassed, no one was harangued, no one was given a pamphlet. In the Pentecost story, the people from the other countries heard the words in their own language. And this means that God's Spirit gave them and will give us, in a way, the power to speak and hear and communicate God's truth to other people. Our words, the church words that we use, don't make sense to folks outside. If you go speaking of atonement and justification and sanctification and providence, etc., that has no meaning to people whose language is survival from day to day. And so the church must speak to people in their immediate needs and then to their spiritual needs. We must not neglect either one. Some Christian churches will feed but not preach, and some will preach but not feed. We must do both, to speak the language and to the situation of all people. There are many ways to communicate God's compassion, God's love and grace, and all of these ways involve both words and meeting real needs. And I don't know why this is so difficult for us, but it is. We first need to find the words to say to ourselves that without love and forgiveness and the transformation that comes from God in our lives, we don't have anything to share and we don't have anything to say. So Pentecost has to first make us look internally to see our own story so that we know what it is we have to share. The good news that you have to share is how God has helped you overcome these things and how God has redirected your life, changed your story, and changed your direction. Sharing the good news is sharing how God has helped you. You already know that story. The Spirit will help you tell it, and you have already lived it. God has done things in your life, and God has done things in my life. You do have a story to share. And when God's Spirit is moving in you, you will be moved to compassion for others. It always, always works that way. When we come to God, God sends us out to others. And we also need to listen. Their stories, whoever they are, need to be heard. God wants us to understand each other. And God knows that their stories and our stories are connected to each other in God's continuing creation. We're all part of a bigger story that God is writing in the world. And you're in it. You get a chapter in it. The Pentecost story tells us that God's Spirit is still resting upon the church. And the gift of communication is still with us. And the wind of God's Spirit is still refreshing us and helping us to breathe deeply and sending us out. The Spirit of God wants us to communicate with one another and understand the power of God's love and peace and freedom from destructive, ego-driven temptations and oppression. And some of you also are held down by old wounds and bitterness from the past and old guilt, which God has already forgiven you of. Let go of those things and move on. Move on, breathe freely so that you can share your story. Some of you are oppressed by rigid standards of success, which you have attained, and you have found do not fill all the empty parts of your soul. And some worry too much about how you look, and some about what others think, and what you wear, and where you live. No place here is your final home. And no thing you own can you take with you. As Billy Graham has said, he has not yet seen a hearse behind with a U-Haul pulled behind it. You don't get to take anything with you. I think I heard my 12 o'clock beat, but I'm almost finished. Our witness is where God has intersected and influenced and directed our lives through trial and temptation. I don't need to teach you how to tell that. You have lived it. Your story, whatever it is, doesn't make you inferior. And your story, whatever it is, doesn't make you superior. It is simply your story and how God is working so far in your life. That's your witness. Speak it boldly to others whose language may be different from yours, but listen to them too. Because we are all part of a larger story of what God is doing in the world. God has not stopped doing in the world. Through trial, temptation, triumph, and defeat, God's Holy Spirit is actively building, recreating, rebirthing, and cleansing souls each day. It isn't, finally, a new vaccine or a new medicine or stem cell research or longer lives that will make paradise on earth. It is changed, connected, united hearts with God, enabled to truly love, to truly care about others, each telling his or her story of how it is that God has woven us into the fabric of the kingdom. And so let our prayer be, come Holy Spirit, help us communicate your repentance, your renewal, your forgiveness, your grace. Come Holy Spirit, give us compassion and direction and move us from this place into the world. Amen. Amen. Baptists and the Presbyterians are ahead of us at the restaurants. I'm sorry. I do want you to greet and to congratulate our confirmands this morning. Now receive this blessing. Receive the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Savior, Jesus Christ, and the comfort, the guidance, and the courage which is yours through the Holy Spirit even in this moment. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.